All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Like, I have a debt to pay to them guys. We're going to win a Stanley Cup for them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Lido podcast.
We should rebrand to the welcome back to the drive for 86 hours to sit in the dome to watch the boringest game of all time podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, we both made it to game two. Like you said, I drove a 1,000 miles to get there. For that, I don't like
words can't even express the rage.
I was in a hot mess after that game, absolutely livid. It was everything I could do not to throw my garbage on the ice, which I'm glad I didn't do the following day. So thank God I didn't do that. After the rage has subsided. But, you know, you get into a blind rage and you never know what's going to happen. I think that, like, because we were sitting in row three right in the corner and the net was right in front of us. So I would have had to shimmy over a little bit in order to toss some garbage onto the ice. So that was probably the saving grace. But, oh, man, what did you think of game two?
Dude, that's one of the most frustrating games I've been to since like a Glenn Gallatin era game. Fuck, that was frustrating and boring and awful.
If you zoom out and you look at it from the entire perspective, it's not a big deal, but it could be.
Well, the thing I keep saying is because, man, people just love to pull up the don't freak out. What are you freaking out for? It's like, we're not freaking out, but that was a game that. Okay, was Dallas good in that game?
No.
So that's a winnable game. And when you lose winnable games in the playoffs, that's can be a big problem, because for me, that's like, that's a freebie for Dallas. Freebies, quote Newman, because I know everybody was sucking Jake Ottinger off after the game. I saw maybe one good scoring chance in that game that was like, wow, that was actually a pretty good save. Rests were pretty easy saves. So
perimeter shit.
Yeah, the Dallas Stars get a win without having to use their Jake Ottinger completely stole a game card. They just get a win, and they get a win without much luck. They just stole a win because the Flames weren't very sharp. So that's where, you know, people are like, oh, don't freak out. I was like, well, I'm not freaking out, but it's like, this is the playoffs. This is not the time where it's like, you know,
we're going to learn from that one.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you don't get, the margin of error is real slim. You don't get these, you don't get do-overs. You can't just like, cause what if this gets to game seven? What if that's game seven last night? Are you sitting there going, oh, don't worry guys, they still played good. It's like, no, it's like they have to win these games. So that's what really pissed me off. It was like, that's a game that this team for pretty much the entire year would have won, and they didn't win it. Like, that's a game that was easily could have been the Flames. And I know it's tight and it's playoff hockey and it's hard, but you got to have that game because, man, oh, man.
No, I totally agree. If you're looking at, you know, championship pedigrees, a championship team who's won doesn't lose that game, dude. They find a way. If it's that close, or they at least tie it up and force overtime. But they were just too satisfied with just leaving the series tied 1-1. Like, that's what the problem was. That's why it's so frustrating. And it's, you know, we've discussed this type of style of hockey before. And when games get to, you know, what we saw in game two, even game one, but game two especially, when you're down a goal for what, 55 minutes in a hockey game, at some point somebody needs to fucking will a goal in the net. You can't wait for your fucking opportunity. You got to create your opportunities, and you have to scratch and claw. Like, you have to get to that next level of just sheer will and determination to create your chances. I saw Dubé do it a couple times where he's in the corner. It's just like, no, you're not supposed to just fucking pass it around the perimeter. Just take it to the net.
Yeah.
Just take it to the net, crash some bodies. Cause at that point, it's just like for the third period, you're like, okay, well, it was pretty apparent what was going on. Like, these guys aren't the best line that had a chance of tying it up was the fourth line. Cause they're out there playing greasy. And when you're in a game like that and it's that close and you need a fucking goal, but it's not happening because you're stuck on the perimeter all fucking night long, you need to fucking get greasy. Like, that's – so you got to change your style, and you got to play a little bit different. You can't wait for a fucking opportunity. You wait all game, you didn't get any. Like you said, what were the chances? There wasn't a lot of scoring chances.
Well, the other thing, too, is the freaking – it was like 4-on-4 for half the game. Which, like, I don't know what's going on with the officiating this playoffs, but
well, it's been shit all year.
It's been your theory of it's going to be worse in the playoffs has definitely come true. Like, it's been, I don't know what's a penalty, but at 5-on-5, anyways, the high danger chances were 5 apiece. The Flames had 0 in the first period, they had 1 in the second period, they had 4 in the third period at even strength. High danger chances 9-7 Calgary. But again, they had 1 in the first, 3 in the second. And I mean, okay, if it's gonna be a weird game like that, you better score on the power play. The power play looked like absolute shit.
The power play is absolute shit.
And I think they had three opportunities, and they had 1 high danger chance. And I don't even remember what it was, because it wasn't that dangerous, obviously. But yeah, like, when it's a game like that, when it's like weird and special teams, your power play better be ready to roll. Like, watched the Oilers game last night, and I was like, holy shit, they would steamroll us at this point if we played them. But I mean, Daryl was talking about it, and I think that was the number one takeaway, was that the Flames, again, and I think this is where everybody's like starting to be worried because, okay, game one, let's say game one happens. I was kind of like convincing myself I was okay with game one, you know, because they won. I was like, yeah, that's fine for a first game. But like game two, they better come out and play the game we've seen them play all year. And they didn't. So my concern slash issue slash reason to be nervous that I think is totally valid, even though people are like, don't freak out, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I think it's totally valid to be a little nervous because apparently it seems to me anyways, some issues, particularly with the top players on this team that have plagued them in the past between the ears in their head have been manifesting in the first two games. Like you watch Johnny Gaudreau in game two. Are you telling me he hasn't been a different player in the two games he's played in the playoffs than he was in the regular season? Like you want to talk about taking the puck to the net. He had three or four looks the other night where in regular season, we've seen him take that to the net or take that to the middle of the ice and create a high dangerous scoring chance. And, you know, every time the puck hit his stick, he was avoiding traffic. He was not taking the puck to the middle of the ice. And he just looked like he was terrified to make a mistake. And I just think some of the mental stuff, like those top guys who have had this issue in the past, making things happen in the playoffs. I definitely think there's been some of that. And not even making it happen, but just some of the seemingly mental hurdles some of the guys on this team, top players, can't seem to break through. And I mean, I've seen a little bit of that. I thought the top line was fine and okay in the first two games, but there definitely was those moments where, you know, like somebody like Johnny has the puck and he just has like a split hesitation and doesn't look as confident with the puck. Same with a lot of the other top guys on the team and some of the guys who haven't been there before.
Well, these guys got to figure it out. And what I mean by that is, I mean, we talked about this on the podcast before the playoffs started. And I think the couple of weeks leading up, but you know, Johnny Gaudreau has never really found that, you know, elite level of performance in the playoffs. And that's been the biggest knock on him. It's been the biggest knock on Monahan. And I still think that, you know, there's a lot of things that contribute to that, that I think are all bullshit, to be honest. You know, in the past, everything was so heavily relied on just Johnny and Monty. I mean, you look at, I think it was Wedley that posted the Calgary Flames roster the last time we played Dallas. And you're just like, holy fuck, were we ass? That roster was so ass. Like, Reeder was on your top line.
Top line was Reeder, Monahan, Gaudreau.
Yeah. Then you had Chucky wasn't
no, playing. No, because Chuck, yeah, he's hurt.
So
yeah.
You had Backlund with
Manji and who? I don't even know. And
then you had Jankowski on your fourth line.
Jankowski, like, Buddy Robinson, and Richie or something. No, yeah. Derek Ryan.
Yeah, this is fucking, you're looking at your line, but holy shit, no wonder they shit canned us. Plus Ward, your fucking coach. Like, good luck. So, I mean, you're looking at playoff appearances in the past, and it's just like, you know, we've talked about it before. Like, Johnny, he wasn't able to put, you know, carry the entire team on his shoulders, but then we always make the comparison up in Edmonton. It's just like, well, if Draisaitl and McDavid can't do that in a playoff series, like, you sure as shit Johnny and Monty can't do it. You know, and then the other thing is just this whole concept of Johnny gets soft and he gets scared in the playoffs, which I think that to me is bullshit. I think that, you know, as we kind of discussed before the series started, I still think that Johnny will figure it out. I still think that Chucky will figure it out. I still think that, you know, the guys who rattled off, they're going to figure it out. But they have to figure it out, which means, like, just because you have a good coach now, your team's solid, and just, you know, everything is kind of working in your favor doesn't mean just game one of the playoffs. Now Johnny's going to be a superstar in the playoffs. The fact that he's carrying into this season all that past baggage, right, and all the question marks associated with him, it's going to take him at least a series, I think. And we might start to see flashes of it. I remember before the series started, one of my predictions was that it might take him 5 or 6 games to really kind of to figure out how he needs to approach the game just that much differently. But at least he has the support system underneath him now. But the thing that was going to be essential for him to give him time to figure it out was some secondary fucking scoring.
Yeah.
Which is why that game 2 is so frustrating, because you got guys like Coleman, who I thought had an okay game. Mangiapane, who, bro, like, you have all the skills. Stop fucking second guessing. Just fucking make it happen. I think Backlund was Backlund. Just kind of a lot of times just skating around, right? Toffoli, I thought, had a good game. He had a few good chances.
Yeah, he was engaged. Yeah.
Yeah. But that third line would be nice if they could fucking chip in. Like, Dubé had a good couple chances. And I still think these guys will figure it out, because, I mean, the level of opponent you're playing,
yeah,
like, you are a better team. And we got Daryl. So any adjustments, like, Daryl, like, if we laid a couple stinkers like this in the regular season, where it's kind of like, why do we, you're on the perimeter all fucking game. Somebody cut to the middle of the ice, be prepared to take a fucking hit just to open the play up a little bit, and then get the other guys coming in, banging and crash, and just get greasy. So we've seen it a few times. And, you know, this regular season, when the Flames have kind of laid an egg, which we definitely did in game 2, they've responded pretty quickly. So we're back on the road. I think that's going to bode well.
Yeah. Road is huge, because that's really what they need to do. That's what I was so surprised with in game 2. It was like, because I was expecting, because the first 10 minutes of game 1 were, that's what I was expecting to see for.
Oh yeah. First 10 minutes, like, fuck, this is going to be a sweep. Like, this.
Yeah.
Is-
like they were, they, it was unbelievable. It was just like, holy shit, yeah, this is 4 games. Like, we're going to have no problem. And then the last 110 minutes have been pretty different. So that's what they need to do, is just simplify their game. And that's what I mean when it's like, you see Johnny get the puck and he's not the same player. It's like, he's just like that slight hesitation when he gets the puck, when in the regular season, he would have buried that. Just like, once he gets over that, that's why it was so frustrating. His goal, like, didn't count. Because, like, that's what he needs to do, is, like, just get one, kind of get in a groove here, and he'll be fine. But I think being on the road is going to be huge, because all they need to do is just, like, play their game. Just stop thinking so much. That's what it looked like last night, especially in the third period. It was like they were thinking way too much.
I don't know, like, if it's the crowd. The crowd was just fucking jacked, dude. The hardest working award for the game goes to the fucking crowd, dude.
I saw a lot of shit afterwards, like, the dome was a mausoleum last night. It was like, I thought it was bumping for how freaking boring that game was.
Yeah, it was bumping. The crowd stuck in there right to the bitter end. Like, the place was going bananas, the chants. The crowd did not give up on this team. Yeah,
no.
Even though a lot of fans did. Like, I was fucking...
Well, I'm usually, when I'm in that state, I can't be loud. I'm like, I'm nervous, so...
No, I'm just like, why? But there was some serious energy coming from the crowd well into the third period. Like, everybody was on their feet there at the very end. And I don't know how much that plays into kind of fucking with these guys' heads a little bit. Which is why you say, like, yeah, if you go back on the road, all they have to concentrate on is playing hockey. You don't have to try and win something for the whole crowd or whatever. But the place was jacked. And, I mean, that opening – the opening when they come out of the ice and they let the Go Flames Go chant, like, that's – fuck, that's amazing, phenomenal. Dude. Phenomenal. So they did – and was it the first shift they scored?
It was, like, the first or second. I think it might have been the first, because the top line was out.
So like you're sitting, I'm sitting there on row three and it was happening on the other end of the ice. You can't even see shit. Like that's the problem with sitting in the lower bowl. I actually prefer to sit in the second bowl, but maybe it would have been a great experience if the fucking Flames could have scored.
If the only highlight you had was Hanifin throwing it over, maybe it would have been different.
Yeah, I saw that right in front of me, 5 feet away. No look pass right up the fucking ice. But yeah, no, that was a fucking great atmosphere in there.
So I don't know. After that goal was disallowed, it's just like the Flames couldn't get. And they were, that was what was so weird. Like, I don't think I've seen, I don't know if it was the ice. I don't know if they were nervous. I don't know if they were asleep half the night. They couldn't make a pass. They couldn't break out of their own zone. They were playing real slow. They weren't like every time the puck was dumped in, nobody was there to retrieve it. Anytime they did get a scoring chance or something close to a scoring chance, there was no follow-up. There was like they made life very easy for the Dallas Stars, I thought. And that's why it was so frustrating.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on the flip side, they still haven't played nearly, they've played 10 good minutes, I think 10 excellent minutes in this series, and the series is tied. So that's the flip side of that. But I think we'll see a different team tonight.
And there was no shenanigans in game two, was there?
Well, okay. We got to talk about the Chucky Klingberg thing that led to the goal being offside. From my angle, I was in the Stars zone, like in 222. So from my angle, I kind of saw this play develop, and I could see that Kachuk is fucking with Klingberg, and he's offside. Because I had a lot of people say it looked like Kachuk's antics led to Johnny being able to get a breakaway. From my perspective, what I saw was that play was developing naturally. And it's like, it was like, I could see it happening. I was like, get onside. What are you doing? Get out of the way. Get out. And then it went in and I was like, fuck, he's offside. So I was a little annoyed with Mr. Kachuk. It was like, dude, like you don't need to engage Klingberg 30 seconds into this game. It's a long series. You can pick your spots a little bit better. Can't you? What was your perspective on the Kachuk Klingberg thing?
Well, fuck, I was down at the other end. I still, 10 minutes after the goal was, you know, not a goal, I'm still wondering what the fuck happened. Because you can't see, I mean, you're at ice level, so you don't have a view from up above where you can see where guys are. But, yeah, I did see that after the fact. But I'd have to look at it again, dude. Hold on. Let me look at this real quick. Oh, yeah. He was definitely busy trying to fuck with Klingberg. But how do you know that the play is coming right back up the ice? I guess in hindsight, he probably would have made sure he was onside.
Yeah, I just think, like, Kachuk, like, I wish he had been. Because the thing is, like, and he was after that, he toned it down. And I'm not saying I want him to tone it down. But in that game, the Flames needed 40-goal Matthew Kachuk more than he needed Matthew Kachuk, who's driving everybody fucking crazy. And well, I mean, he was lights out in game one. So
yeah, even in game one when he fights, is it Kunin?
Raffle.
Raffle, yeah, yeah. Raffle. He fights Raffle, you're just like, okay, we just swapped our 40-goal, 100-point, yeah, you know, top-line guy for a fucking fourth-line plug.
Like, so, yeah, it's just like he's been excellent at this all year, is managing this a little bit better than he has in years past, but he's got to manage it. Like, they need this guy on the ice scoring goals.
Yeah. It was cool though after game one, because Daryl gets asked, you know, yeah, would you rather not see Matthew Kachuk fighting? No, I rather would see it. Fucking Daryl's great, eh? For the way this series is developing, that the Raffle is, I think he's been the most impactful player on either side.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is like, I didn't even realize half the Stars were playing, right? Like, the Flames have done a good job defensively. And I mean, Markstrom's been great. It's just like, I can't believe that there's been no offense. Like, this team scored like almost 300 goals this year. And it's like, they look like the freaking 2004 team in trying to score goals right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, too much perimeter play, but you know that Daryl's going to, Like Daryl already knows. I'm watching the press conference today. He's just saying, yeah, we got to get to the middle of the ice.
Got to get to the middle of the ice. And he had a great quote. Somebody asked him, like, oh, how do you prevent from being, how do you, you know, like, because Dallas is a really big defense who likes good at boxing guys out and preventing rebound chances.
Coming back or getting to the front of the net and getting.
Exactly that. If I stand there beside you, are you going to try and get around me, or am I just going to keep you there? That's the difference. It's not any different. Put skates on. That's. You ask that question, that's the best way to see it, right?
He's the only way to do it is to just do it. You got to bear down and do it. That's what they need to do.
You got to get greasy.
And shoot the puck more, which I totally agree with. He said this multiple times this year in games like this, but it's like you can't pass the puck into the net.
Yeah. I think they're going to figure it out. They got Daryl. He knows exactly what the problem is. He's going to tell them exactly how to fix it. Now they have to execute. We've seen it in, you know, all season long, they're how they respond. They're on the road, which I think goes well. Yeah. It'll be interesting, though, because you got to be careful that first period. The Dallas crowd is going to be jacked. The team, like, it would be nice if our team would feed off the crowd's energy for once, eh?
Instead of freaking out about it.
Exactly. Like, fuck, you mean, like... So you got to be careful with the first 10 minutes or so. You know, weather the storm. But maybe it'll dial them in. So we'll see what happens. But, and you know, like traditionally, like you're looking at this team's season, they're going to know how to manage the crowd too, right? Like the game plan going in is probably get an early goal, silence the crowd up, and then control the game from there on. But, I don't know, man. Like you said, the scary part about it is that you just gave them a free game. Ondra didn't have to steal a game. But I guess if he gets a shutout, then maybe technically he kind of does in a sense. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what adjustments there are. I don't think there's going to be any personnel adjustments. But fuck, I'd truly like to see Rasich get in there instead of Richie, man.
Yeah, like that's what you need desperately, because that's what a lot of the analysis was going into this series. Is like, okay, you have two really good top lines facing off. This is going to come down to who has better depth players. The Flames obviously do, but they need to generate some offense. Like,
they got to execute,
right? And I mean, for as much as I was just saying, like, I thought Gaudreau didn't look confident, or he looked nervous or whatever, or seemed to have something going on and it was thinking too much. The top line still outchanced, like, they still generated most of the scoring chances in the last two games. So those middle six guys need to get scoring some goals here. You need a guy to have a big one. You need a guy like Coleman to bang one in. But yeah, fuck, dude. Rosicka would really help that bottom line, because, I mean, I don't think you didn't need three big hits. You didn't need, like, three guys banging bodies last night. You needed a guy who could generate some offense.
Does Richie even bang the body?
Like, not even really. Like maybe in game one.
Richie better pick it up, dude.
So
like if you're Richie, your fourth line role is so fucking minimally defined. So like bang some bodies, bro. Like he needs to be more physical.
Yeah. If he's gonna be there, he needs to utilize his actual skill set. But man. I really hope the Flames – it's so weird because it's like apparently if you want to shut down the Flames offense, you just play the trap. Like, holy fuck. Dallas just literally clogged up the neutral zone and took advantage of one mistake and won the game. It was brutal to watch. But the Flames got to just figure out how to get past that. And that's what was so frustrating is, like, they were having to dump the puck in a little bit more, but then there was nobody retrieving the puck. The forecheck seemed to be non-existent. It just seemed every defining feature of their game – that was so good all regular season was just like
nullified.
Yeah. I was like, fuck, I can't seem to execute at all. So just play your game. That's all you got to do tonight. Just play the game you've been playing, that you played for 82 games this season. That's it.
So game one, there's some drama, right? I mean, game one's different than game two, because game two would have been a hell of a lot different if you forced overtime. You know, then we're probably having a different conversation, because then they actually found a way. Game one's a bit different because, I mean, you had the early lead and you held on to it all game and you didn't give up much. And that's the other thing that Daryl's saying after the first two games is the Flames are giving up very little in terms of scoring chances.
Yeah.
Now they got to do better to generate their own, but the one end of the rink, they're playing well. So game one, you got the lead. You're in control of the game. That first 10 minutes, like, fuck, like you said.
They were unbelievable.
Yeah, they got to get back to that. But then Chucky rocks Haskinen. Just was that at the end of the first
period? Klingberg didn't, wasn't it?
Was it Klingberg?
Yeah.
At the end of the first period?
Just freaking nailed him.
Just fucking steamrolls him.
Like, perfect hit.
So then Raffle goes at it with Tkachuk. Tkachuk's, he's flailing, eh?
Dude, okay, we got to fit in our worst friend of the show, Kelly Rudy. Kelly, you don't have to pretend you hate the Flames. You realize this, right? Because what's his nuts? Raffle, like, kind of like sticks Tkachuk in the, he trips him. And in the intermission, Kelly's like, oh, Tkachuk dove, he's diving. He dove. It's like Kelly tries way too hard to pretend he doesn't have a Flames bias.
Yeah, I mean, Chucky embellished a bit, but everybody's trying to get that extra inch this time of year, and that's Chucky's game. So, Kelly, don't be so fucking surprised. So then Raffle and Chucky go toe-to-toe, and then news to me, apparently it's a penalty now. Did you know about this rule? If it's the second fight, there's an automatic game misconduct.
I had no clue. I knew there's a rule in like the last 10 minutes of a game, and that's why coaches always gets fined. But I didn't think it was like there's a secondary fight in the last, like, what is that? Never heard of that before.
Coming back to this, I mean, we went off on the league a little bit last episode. But what? You don't want this as a league? More fighting? You want less? I guess they're trying to protect the players.
Yeah, bullshit. They're trying to protect the players. Gary Bettman won't even admit that like CTE exists. Like, fuck right off. They're just trying to protect their little image where they want hockey to be. It's such a fun family affair. Meanwhile, the crowd's going bananas. The only reason anybody paid any attention to that otherwise boring game was because of all the awesome rough stuff. So you're welcome, Matthew Tkachuk. Should be getting royalties from the NHL for making shit happen that people want to watch.
Shit. So Klingberg and Rass, what'd you think of this little altercation? Klingberg, dude, apparently
Klingberg had an issue with it. Is such a bitch. What is his problem?
Dude, like, that was ultimate bitch, eh?
Little bitch comes up to, like, Rass is just standing there, right? And,
well, I'm sure Rass is chirping him, but.
Oh, for sure.
But then he says, okay, well, then let's go. I don't know if Rass knew about the rule or not, and that's why, you know, he declined.
Well, he probably didn't want to get a penalty. And I'm like, I don't want Rasmus Anderson off the ice. I know Klingberg is an important guy, but I'd rather have Rasmus. I don't want to trade Anderson for Klingberg, but like Klingberg should have got a instigator or some shit. I don't know. Like, he started it.
Yeah.
But then Buddy feeds him his lunch. So
that was fucking great, eh? And then he's whining about it. Like, nice fucking teeth, bro.
He thinks he's tough. He's not tough. It's like he just beat your face in. Take the L, bud.
Bro, you engaged him. He declined. And then he beat the shit out of you. Nice teeth.
So that screwed the game up for sure. You're without your number one defenseman. But, I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was fucking great.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
And then Haskins, like, or as Klingberg's like, we're going to go after him. And you're just like, yeah, okay, what? Bud. For what? Like, it would be one thing if it was like, yo, fucking, remember in Geo need McDavid?
Which time?
Either or.
Geo.
Remember when Gio breaks his leg? I can see
it's like the last game of the year. It doesn't matter. Fucking Gio is just like going for it anyways.
Oh, yeah. Never gets up on one shift. I could see maybe then, yeah, we're going to go after him. But like,
yeah, it's like,
I'm pretty sure everybody in the Stars is like, bro, we're not going after him.
It's like, John, shut the fuck up.
Yo, what are you talking about? Hillbilly John, get some teeth, bro. What's fuck.
Anyways, it was awesome.
He looks like a fucking.
He looks schmeagle. Like he should be. Schmeagle. Oh, like, give him a raw fish after the game. Everybody's having orange slices, and He's got a sardine. I was going to be a little more crude and said he looks like he should be like on the corner of like Hollywood and Vine, you know, selling something we won't speak of.
Selling that gap in his teeth, eh?
That's right.
Good for something, I guess, eh? So anyways, I mean, like as a whole, this series hasn't really brought too much storyline yet, hey? Has it?
Well,
I think so far the first two games what you're seeing is the beginning of storyline. We don't know what that storyline will be. I still think the Flames, I cannot see them losing this.
They can't lose to Dallas.
They can't lose to this team.
Like again, if you want like for all of the thing is everybody's worried because I don't know how you can't be. And if you're saying like there's not a part of you that's like here we go again, you're lying. I'm sorry because there has to be. It's kind of like with the Leafs. It's like until they do it, you're always going to have that like, oh man, here we go, right? Like, so I think they're going to do it. I'm like 99%, but it's like that's always in the back of everybody's mind is another first round where they just can't get it done. It's always going to be in the back of your mind no matter what. So I think that's where game two gets a little – it's like being there and having paid a lot of money to go for you to drive there and pay a lot of money to go. It was extra fucking maddening. But there is there's a response. There's a more visceral response because I wanted to see them blow the Stars' socks off in game two.
Yeah.
And just put this to bed. And I didn't want to, you know, and obviously it's playoffs. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be stuff where you're feeling nervous, but you wanted to see more of what you saw in the first 10 minutes of game one, where it was like, yeah, they're going to fucking kill them as they should. So until they, you know, if they put a great game together tonight, they need to do what the Oilers did last night against the Kings. You don't necessarily need to blow them out 8-2, but you need to have a game that's like, okay, here we go. There we go. That's the Flames. They dominated. They killed them. I think once they have a game like that, maybe they don't have a game like that. But then and only then will I be like, okay, we can do this. We got this 100% because the seed of doubt's always going to be there.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know how it can't be. If you're like one of these people who's like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. It's like, I don't know how you can't have that seed of doubt. And it's not even a big seed. It's just freaking little. But it's like,
yeah,
I've seen this team go past the first round like once ever. So,
I mean, if we had any other coach, I would be freaking out.
Yeah.
But just the fact that we have him alone, he could win us. He could win us this series. He could be the X factor.
Well, and Dallas sucks. Like they suck. They just sucked in game two. That's why it was so annoying. The Flames lost. Like Dallas stinks. All they can do is like clog up the neutral zone and pray to God Noah Hanifin gives them a gift. Like that's all they can do. It's unbelievable. Like Dallas is just like dragging these guys into this hellscape of horrible, boring hockey. And it worked for one game, but I don't think you can win. I don't know. That's tough to win that seven-game series against a team like the Flames doing that.
Hey, folks, just got to fit in a word from our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. So the playoffs are going on, and DraftKings has an unreal offer for the most exciting playoffs in all of sports as long as you discount Game 2 of the Dallas Calgary Series. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. DraftKings is really easy to use. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That code is THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details.
All right, well, we'll see how the series continues to unfold. We got a game here tonight. Is game when Monday next one after this?
Probably.
One day off. Do you want to anything else on this series so far you want to touch on? We'll take a look around elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just
we're still waiting.
The toe has, yeah, we're still waiting, right? And that's why it's like it's hard to get into it because I didn't really expect to be waiting. I thought after games one and two, we'd kind of have a handle on where the Flames are at. And yeah, they still haven't really, the rubber still hasn't really hit the road with them yet.
Yeah, but I think that this was always going to be part of the process, right? Yeah. Like these guys need to, just as they needed to learn how to play regular season hockey, which they did. But remember last year?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, like when Sutter came and it was still like, what are they
doing?
It took
20 to 30 games for this, yeah, for this team really to sink in, right? The offseason preparation helped. I mean, they've been prepared for this all season long. Now they're living it. I think that it's just a matter of time before everything starts to click, but there is going to be a process, and Dallas is going to be that team that's going to make you figure it out. Like, it's, they're not going to give you any freebies. And in a sense, I think that's a good thing, because,
well, and that's what my takeaway after game one was. And then my expectations were just higher for game two, was like, I'm glad game one was hard for them to win. And they hopefully realize that this is going to be a freaking hard series to win, and they have to play a certain way to win, and they have to stick to the game plan to win. That was my takeaway after game one. Game two was just, I think, a letdown for a lot of people.
Yeah, but it's also a wake-up call and a learning experience for these guys. You know that they're going to buy in to whatever Sutter's telling them. So, like, they've done it all season long. They trust this guy. But what, you know, from my perspective coming into this series, you already knew Dallas was going to push you through a threshold in order to beat them. And they're very beatable, but you still have to put in the work and you still have to play the right way. So, but I, like, do you recall like how many teams, unless you're heavily outmatching the other team, how do you win a series playing on the perimeter? In playoffs,
you can't.
The fucking playoffs.
Every single goal is dirty. Like, there's always, most of the goals are dirty, right in tight. Rebounds, have a shooting mentality, getting those hard goals.
Yeah. So we got to see more of that tonight.
Take a page out of Dubé's book. Just do more of what Dubé's doing.
Yeah, you would think Coleman would be able to do that. That Yarncroke, maybe that third line is going to be the line that gets it done for us tonight. We'll see. But, I mean, you're not going to finesse. You're going to finesse your way through Dallas, dude. It's not going
to
happen.
No, like, you're going to have to – they're dragging you into a gutter. And, I mean, I've heard people say this all year. It's like, that's the great thing about the Flames. They can play either way. They can play any way you want to. It's like, okay, well, we need to play – we've got to see some ugly goals then.
Some greasy just
– and fucking score on the motherfucking power play.
Yeah, you got to get at least one power play goal tonight.
Because that could have been the difference in game two. It was like, get a power play goal, we're all good.
All right, so outside of the Flames series, what series have you enjoyed?
I just have to say one other thing about the Stars.
Yep.
Have you ever heard Rick Bowness's press conferences?
I did hear one.
Why is he talking like this all the time? He's talking like, what the hell's wrong with that man?
He's kind of his own Peanuts character, eh? You know who he looks like is what's his name from Rick Moranis, and what's the other guy from fucking Strange Brew?
Dude, he totally looks like Dave Thomas.
Yeah, Dave Thomas.
Holy shit.
Not the Wendy's Dave Thomas.
He looks like old Dave Thomas when he was old and fat.
Spitting image.
Good call.
Spitting image.
I don't know. I just want this Flames. I'm just sitting here all day. I'm like the meme. I'm like the Narcos meme where he's just standing. That's me right now. I want this game to get rolling. I'm so glad it's 7:30, not 8. Extra half hour is great.
Fuck, we gotta win tonight, dude.
You have to win tonight.
See, but the thing is, like, I was feeling so good about game two.
I had bad vibes. And you know what? Somebody immediately DM'd me and said, yo, dipshit, I thought you were going to stay away from the Dome in the first round.
Yeah, no.
I was explaining last week that the last few times I've been there in the playoffs, it's been trouble. So I apologize. I knew it. I contemplated buying those stupid tickets all day. I was like, no, I can't do it. It's just bad. It's a bad vibe. So it's my, if you blame anybody, blame me, guys. It's my fault. Hey, what's up, Sea of Red? Support for In the Dome is brought to you by Manscaped. They're sponsoring our first round coverage of the Dallas Flames series. Manscaped is the best in below-the-waist men's grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools
for your family jewels. Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Listen, we were both at game two, and I walked by the red lot. I saw a lot of people who could use... Listen, I was on neckbeard patrol. I was a little disappointed because I thought neckbeards and poor grooming habits were only a thing up in Edmonton. So next time I'm at the Dome, I want to make sure that all you boys are looking good, finally trimmed up, nice and groomed. And I mean, it was hot out too, so I know there was probably a ton of sweaty balls. So for those of you who fit into either one of those categories, please join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code DOME, D-O-M-E, at manscaped.com. If you want to look like Erica Branson, you don't want to look like Connor McDavid. So take care of yourself. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code DOME.
I stand before you with dry balls, Your Honor. My balls remain dry.
You owe me.
I did see all the Flames wives before the... or whatever they are, girlfriends. Before
you said they were, you said they were getting gunned, eh?
I was face to face with Backlund's wife. I didn't say anything because I thought that would be a bit rude.
Is she what?
It'd be like, yo, Frida, could you tell Michael to, you know, focus a little bit better? I don't know. They were all getting plastered. They all look the same. They have to wear those jackets with the corresponding Flames names to get their, so you can tell them apart. They're just like all made in the lab somewhere.
Oh boy. All right. Elsewhere around the league, what series do you like?
Well,
the Leafs one has me very interested, dude.
The Leafs one has been, I think, the funnest to watch. I watched most of the game yesterday. I thought the Lightning were gonna tie it up. Major credit to Toronto. Honestly, that's the one I've watched the most of. And then, I mean, okay, the Oilers one started phenomenally. I was on top of the world in game one after that. But I couldn't stomach watching it very much last night. So I've mostly been into the Leafs and Lightning. There hasn't been really been any fireworks anywhere else. Like, I mean, that Leafs and Lightning series really has been the best.
The Boston and Carolina has had some shit going on with slashes and whatnot, but
I'm blown away at how dominant the Canes were in games one and two, though.
Yeah,
I underestimated the Canes. Yeah. I mean, the one other one, I guess, is the Pittsburgh New York one, which I haven't been able to watch very much of because the games are always on early, and I'm usually watching the Toronto one if there's an early game. That one's been pretty crazy with the overtime game. And now the Penguins don't have a goalie. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's fucked, eh?
And then, holy shit, can we do a prayer? We should have all done a prayer circle for poor Dave Riddick.
Oh, boy.
After that first period. That was hard to watch, dude.
Dude.
That was hard to watch. Like, not many. Like, even Gio, like, I don't really give a shit about the Leafs and stuff. Like, all these guys used to play. But you watch Dave Riddick get shelled for what, 5 goals? Oof. And you just like, how do you not? Oh my Lord. I'm praying for Dave. Dave, we're praying for you.
Okay, man. Probably wrap it up there. I mean, we're waiting for, we don't know the storyline yet. Games one and two are setting the table for the storyline to come, but we'll see what happens in this following week.
I think they're going to come out flying tonight. I think it's going to be a good game tonight.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.